I would hope that you know what you believe, especially as you listen to media. I was told a long time ago that a theologian in the last century said you should read the news with a Bible in the other hand. Not so you might know what's going to happen, but so you might know what is happening. If you know what you believe, you have faith, you will understand a lot of what is going on. So we have an affirmation of our faith each time we gather together at Daleville Christian Church. This one from Titus in the second chapter. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, who are eager to do what is good. The reading of God's word for today is from 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter, verses 16 through 21. The Apostle Paul, writing to the churches in the area of the Greek city of Corinth. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. A blessed Father's Day, this Father's Day, to all dads. And gentlemen, let me say that you are the first fathers ever to celebrate Father's Day during a worldwide pandemic. Family leadership in a pandemic is no one's idea of how to celebrate Father's Day, but it does give families an additional reason to celebrate dads. So dads, stay well, practice caution during this virus. Father's Day in the United States dates to the early 1900s, but was not nationally recognized until after the 1918 flu pandemic. So dads, you had the distinction of celebrating during a pandemic, the first, and we hope the only, Father's Day we celebrate that way. Now, I did discover on the heels of a Sunday message recently that the father who inspired the move toward Father's Day was a Civil War veteran and served in the 1st Arkansas Artillery Battery. He was 19 years old when he joined. Now, although Arkansas sided with the Confederacy, not all Arkansans supported the Confederate cause. This fact begins to educate us on how complex this Civil War was. Arkansans supporting the Union formed 4 infantry regiments, 4 cavalry regiments, and an artillery battery to serve in the U.S. Army, serving in the Union blue uniforms during the Civil War. Now, speaking of the pandemic, I have come to a conclusion. My conclusion is that this whole thing is a matter of mathematics. My concern is not really getting the COVID-19 virus. My concern is not especially that I might die from getting COVID-19, although maybe that should be my biggest concern. No, here's my main concern. The chances of my being hospitalized with COVID-19 is 1 in 5. That's a pretty good chance. Hospitalization could cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. The simple fact is, I cannot afford to go to the hospital with COVID-19. So I'm going to be very cautious. Very cautious. Now to the Bible and today's message. My old seminary professor at Duke University Divinity School, the eminent and now late W.D. Davies, was rather intrigued with today's Bible verse, 2 Corinthians 5:16. I'll read from the Revised Standard Version. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view. We regard him thus no longer. Professor Davies wondered if the Apostle Paul ever saw Jesus in person, in the flesh. The Apostle states, we once regarded Christ from a human point of view. Jesus and Paul lived at the same time. They were both in Jerusalem. Did Paul ever see Jesus in person? In the flesh? If Paul ever did see Jesus as a human being in person, Paul never brought it up in his letters. If Paul ever did see Jesus in person, Paul never brought it up in his letters unless this happens to be Paul's only mention of it. And although Paul might appear to mention seeing Jesus in person, he also explains in a teaching moment, always take a teaching moment when you find one, in a teaching moment says why seeing Jesus in person is not particularly important. Now remember, Paul, in his congregations, has had to deal with teachers who believe that they are superior to the Apostle Paul. One reason some of these apostles feel superior to Paul is that they saw Jesus in person. They sat at Jesus' feet and heard him teach. So even if Paul did see Jesus in person, Paul is quick to say, even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view, we regard him thus no longer. Or as other versions of the Bible say it easily, we are careful not to judge people by what they seem to be, though we once judged Christ in that way. I mentioned this last time, and it's the beginning of our message today. Many people, even in the church, have trouble seeing people the right way, to see people the Jesus way. Jesus never judged people by what they seemed to be. To judge people by what they seem to be to you, my emphasis, to judge people by what they seem to be to you, that is called prejudice. The word prejudice means that you have already prejudged them before you know much of anything about them, or you have prejudged them based on what you can see or perceive about them. We easily do this. We so often reduce people to their job, for example, don't we? We say, oh, they're a bank teller. No, they are a person who works at a bank as a teller. Yes, it takes a long time to say that, which is why we don't say it that way. Also, we all assume that a bank teller is a person, but your ATM machine is a bank teller, is it not? What's the difference? Well, one of them is a human being. When we talk about the American Civil War, we're supposed to talk about enslaved persons. Why? Because the word slave denotes a function, not a person. An even more accurate phrase would be an enslaved person whose ancestor was a victim of a kidnapping in another country. Besides, slave does not describe much. Slavery changed in America over 250 years, and slavery in the ancient world was very different than slavery in America just before the American Civil War. The laws changed in each state. Jesus never judged people by what they seemed to be. Now, I don't want to make a big point of this, but Jesus did not refer to people by their illness. We do that all the time. He has cancer. Jesus did not refer to people by their illness except to describe their change of status. Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight." Quick to say, well, they're not blind anymore. They're not blind people anymore. The lame walk. You might describe them as lame, but now they walk, so it's different. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. They're not even dead anymore. The poor have good news preached to them. See Matthew chapter 15. But I'm suggesting that Jesus always saw people as people, not categories. Somewhere along in here, you say to yourself, man, this Christianity thing is hard. And my answer is, yes, it is. Did you read in the Bible that Jesus said that following Jesus was easy? I know, I didn't read that either. But actually, the way we're used to doing things is harder. What we usually do is like what Charles Schulz described in his Peanuts comic. Patty and Lucy made up a list for a party. Those to invite and those not to invite. You and I are working all the time to remember all the people we are not going to invite to our party. Jesus was inviting everyone to Jesus' party. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, "Come to me all. Come to me all." Jesus has only got one list, everyone to invite. Come to me all. Jesus never did make a list of people not to invite to his party. You and I could save ourselves a lot of trouble if we just threw away that old list of people we will never invite to our party. Besides, when you make a list of people not to invite, you're assuming that no one will change. And you also assume that no one can change. We have a saying, we human beings, especially in the Midwest, a tiger can't change his stripes. Well, of course not. Of course tigers can't change their stripes. But we are not tigers. None of us are tigers. Human beings are not tigers. Is that so hard to remember? We are human beings, and that is how Jesus spoke of us. The blind received their sight. They changed. The lame walk. They changed. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have good news preached to them. Jesus speaks of us as being transformed. Even to the point of the dead being raised. Friends, that is quite a transformation. Now we have another saying here in the Midwest, one of my favorites. You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. In case you're not too grounded in farm talk, a sow is a pig. You can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. And that is true. You and I cannot make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. You and I cannot make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, but God can. God can do that if he wants to. John the Baptist said, if God truly wanted children of Abraham, the Lord God can make them out of stone. God is not dependent on Israel to have children of Abraham. Matthew 3:9. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. A tax collector, an adult tax collector, can become a disciple of Jesus. Believe it. Oh, and Matthew, by the way, he was not a tax collector. He was a human being who worked as a tax collector. Or, as Matthew was often seen by people around him, Matthew, as a Jewish man, wanted to be a pawn of the oppressive and godless Roman government, and he wanted to do that for money. Jesus never saw Matthew that way. However, you can be sure that many Jewish people did see Matthew as I just described him, a Jewish man who wanted to be a pawn of the oppressive and godless Roman government, and therefore a betrayer of God's people. Jesus saw Matthew as a disciple of Jesus, and that is exactly what Jesus turned Matthew into, a follower of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter, verse 16, from now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. But this is how prejudice, prejudging someone, and bias begins in our heads. But those prejudices are resolved in the heart. We begin to see people as Jesus saw people. Jesus even saw the Pharisees as men who had no clue that they did indeed need Jesus. Pharisees needed Jesus. Jesus knew that, but he knew the Pharisees didn't know that. Let's look at a human example of a person who began to take on the eyes of Jesus. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Perhaps it's unfair to choose a genuine Christian saint as an example. However, whatever you might know about Mother Teresa will be helpful. In October 1950, Mother Teresa received permission from the Roman Catholic authorities to start her own order, the Missionaries of Charity, whose primary task was to love and care for those persons nobody was prepared to look after. You might believe that it was easy to do that, but the authorities put Mother Teresa off for 2 years, and they put Mother Teresa off for 2 years with a decision as a test of her faith. Was Mother Teresa really called to this work? And did Mother Teresa really want to leave teaching and serve the poorest of the poor? Mother Teresa did, and she continued to ask permission, and it was granted. And Mother Teresa knew her call was particular to go to Calcutta, India. There, in Calcutta, India, the poor are really poor. American poor are only relatively poor. The people of Calcutta, India, are and have been really poor, like $1.25 a day poor, and that's 2017 year dollars. There are tens of thousands of homeless in Calcutta, India, while sewers run open in the streets where you have to live. There are 24 shelters for the whole city of Calcutta for the homeless. Only half of them are open. But I don't need to prove the point. It's really bad there. We have little idea of how bad it is. Mother Teresa felt a call to do something, anything, for these poor, the poorest of the world's poor. Teresa began by having the city donate an abandoned building to her, and to that abandoned building, Teresa brought people who were dying on the street so that they would not die alone and uncared for. They would die on a pallet, maybe with a blanket and a person at their side. That's how Teresa started. How could she do that? Her scriptures were Jesus' story in Matthew's gospel book, the story we often call the story of the sheep and the goats. These verses are most important, Matthew 25. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me." Teresa liked to quote Jesus on the cross. Teresa said, "Hear Jesus saying, I thirst." Hear Jesus say that in the hearts of the poor people. Hear more of Teresa's words. "It's not enough for us to say, I love God, but I do not love my neighbor. St. John says you are a liar if you say you love God and you don't love your neighbor. How can you love God whom you do not see if you do not love your neighbor whom you do see?" We have been created to love and be loved, she would go on. And then God has become man to make it possible for us to love as he loved us. He makes himself the hungry one. Jesus makes himself the naked one. God makes himself the homeless one and the sick one, the one in prison, the lonely one, the unwanted one. And he says, "Do it for me." Teresa said in an interview, "I had the most extraordinary experience with a Hindu family who had 8 children. A gentleman came to our house and said, 'Mother Teresa, there's a family with 8 children. They have not eaten for so long. Do something.' So I took some rice and I went there immediately and I saw the children, their eyes shining with hunger. I don't know if you've ever seen hunger, but I have seen it very often. And the mother took the rice, she divided the rice, and she went out. And when she came back, I asked her, 'Where did you go? What did you do?' And she gave me a very simple answer, 'My neighbors are hungry also.' What struck me most was that she knew. And who are her neighbors? They were a Muslim family. And she knew they were hungry." Mother Teresa said, "I didn't bring more rice to that family that evening because I wanted them to enjoy the joy of sharing what little they had. But there were those children radiating joy, sharing the joy with their mother because she had the love to give. And you see, this is where love begins, at home. Mother Teresa, the Christian, brought food to a Hindu family. And the Hindu family shared it with the Muslim neighbors. Perhaps you know that the nations of Pakistan and Bangladesh were created in part to separate Muslims and Hindus because they've had trouble getting along. Mother Teresa tried to teach all those in her order that they are to look to see Jesus as the person that they are helping. Have eyes to see, not with the brain, but with the heart. Just like the blessed ones, Jesus told his story about, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. There is to be no prejudging, even if they call themselves Hindu or Muslim or black or poor or whatever. See what Jesus saw. And see what Jesus sees. People who are hungry. People who need you to love them like Jesus. Amen. Thank you.